Hey everybody, it's Brent Adamson here coming to you from Las Vegas in the CEB Sales and Marketing Summit. And I'm so excited to be joined today by a panel of incredibly well-known experts in the field that I want to spend some time with today talking about sort of what we see happening in the world of sales. So today I'm joined, among others, by our very own Nick Toman from CEB. Also by Jill Conrath. Jill Conrath, we all know, of course, as the author of some incredible work in sales. And also here today to talk a little bit more about maybe some of the things, Jill, that you have found in your latest work that's just about to come out, which is More Sales, Less Time, a provocative and incredibly valuable tool and title. I was so excited to hear more about that. And we're also here with Lori Richardson. And Lori is the CEO of Score More Sales. Lori, thanks for joining us as well. What we're going to do today is we're going to cover sort of a number of topics under sort of the broader range or the theme of the complexity that we're all facing in B2B selling today. And what I thought maybe we could do is we'll kind of break it down to maybe a couple sort of subtopics. And the subtopic I thought we could start with is arguably just sales support. And this question of when you think about the complexity that's hitting our sales organization, say, whether we're thinking of sort of sales leadership or individual sales professionals out there trying to bring in business faced with incredible complexity across products, their own internal complexity, customer complexity. I think one of the things we'd all agree on is that we've got to find ways to support them in an environment to be more successful. And I know, Jill, this is a theme that's very close, dear to your heart, given what you just spent a lot of time writing on and the book that's about to come out. Productivity in this kind of complex environment is an incredibly important theme for your work, isn't it?
Right. It's incredibly important, and it's interesting to me to see how your work is actually complementing what I'm doing, because I know that you're focused on the organizational complexity.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been top of mind for me is what's happening from an individual seller's perspective and how complex their job is, and as a result of the world that they exist in on a daily basis. And by that, I mean they live in their CRM, they live on the phone, they live online, they live in LinkedIn, they live in all, you know, they're all over the place in all these different tools all day long. And what I'm really seeing is just a sheer exhaustion for the kind of work that they have to do, from bouncing back and forth. It's like an age of distraction that we're living in, and they're really struggling with the distraction, but they don't even realize it because it's just how they're working today. And it's so impacting productivity that it is a major source of gain. An organization can easily pick up an hour or two a day per sales rep by changing how they work, not adding anything, but changing how they work.
You know, I got to imagine that kind of world. Every single professional, sales professional any of us would talk to would all agree, I am incredibly busy. I don't know if they would all agree, I am incredibly productive.
No, and they are incredibly busy. And most salespeople I talk to right now are literally talking. I'm working day to night, morning to night. I'm, you know, first thing in the morning, I roll out of bed and I do email triage, and then I go get the coffee going. And as soon as I get to the office, I open my computer up and I log on, and boom, my world takes off, and I'm still checking email at 9:30 at night.
Completely hear you. I want to get into a little bit about what do we do in this environment to sort of manage that kind of complexity. But first, maybe, Lori, we can come to you and talk a little bit. What are you seeing in this environment?
Sure. It's funny. Jill mentioned exhaustion, and the word that came to my mind when I was thinking was frustration, because I work with a lot of companies outside of the technology bubble, and these are people in manufacturing and distribution and professional services, and they have too many tools, not enough time, and they just can't get everything done. So they're getting extremely frustrated. Couple that with the issues within the company itself, and then there's leadership. We have leadership issues, and you put it all together, and I think you said it well when you said it's hard to be a seller.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find the same thing we're seeing in our research, Nick. If you think about sort of what we're seeing here at CB and the Sales Leadership Council and all the work that we've done in B2B sales organizations and the complexity of the deals they're doing, we're seeing sort of the themes that Lori and Jill, you've mentioned, sort of the individual level we see play out at the organizational level, don't we?
Yeah, there's this, it's almost like a flywheel effect that's happening where we look at the complexity of the sales reps world today. And organizationally, I think you see heads of sales and heads of sales enablement and operations want to add support to help their reps cope with this complexity. And there's this sort of deep-rooted irony that when we add more tools and add more support and add more people into this equation, it's ultimately backfiring. And so you just start this flywheel effect where it just compounds on itself. And some of our latest data, just for example, show us that the average opportunity requires 4.3 colleagues internally to help in some capacity navigate that deal to closure. We see 8.5 technologies required, right? And this is just on average, right? There's extreme examples out there where you're talking, you know, in some cases, a couple dozen tools that might be required to move a deal all the way through the pipeline. And the net, the net effect of all that is the average seller has what we would classify as support touch points, 340 support touch points they have to navigate in a given month to get their job done. And so it's just this absolute sort of compounding effect, all done with the best of intentions organizationally to help salespeople, but it just adds drag, it adds burden to the seller's lives. And there's this sort of deep, just very deep-rooted irony to the whole thing. It's very, very difficult to kind of knock that flywheel out of rhythm and get it to slow down again.
What do you do in a world when all the help that we've provided to support reps in a very complex environment makes that environment that much more complex, right? It's a tough question.
Indeed.
You know, the there's kind of two knock-on effects that I've found in talking about our research with members around the world that I find incredibly fascinating as a researcher, incredibly troubling if you're a sales leader, which is, one is this tendency of individual sales reps struggling in this environment to deal with all this complexity, and they kind of look around in the environment that you suggested, which is, you know, I don't see my company as helping me in this environment. I see them in many ways getting in the way of just making it that much more complex. Clearly, it's really hard here. I'll go somewhere else. And of course, they go somewhere else, and what do they find? It's equally complex,
right?
It's just
as complex.
Right. And so, and then everybody loses that environment, right? So the organization loses their sales reps who go somewhere else, not better
place. And the cost of turnover is just astronomical.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that sales rep's no happier where they've gone. They're just as disengaged in their new job as they were in the old one. This is a lose-lose kind of scenario. You know, the other thing, though, I find is interesting at the organizational level is that that leaders will look at sales reps struggling in this environment, and they're quick to judge at the individual level. And they say, wow, the sales rep is really struggling. They must not be able to cut it. They must not be cut out for this environment. And so we almost immediately diagnose it as an individual skill problem as opposed to an environmental problem. Lori, are you seeing something like that too?
Yeah, we do see that. And I think when you can put some clear process into place and some clear expectations. I mean, the first thing when someone comes on board in a sales role at your company, they should learn about their buyer. I mean, you've been talking about that for 2 days. And if we could focus on the bigger picture and then work down to from there, here is how we're going to interact with them and here's our playbook, and give some real specifics rather than what I've seen too often, which is no set process, no, you know, it depends on the time of the year, the time of the month, you know, what quarter it is, whether it's the end of the quarter. And it's, you know, it gives you results that are not consistent. And so that's something that I think the organization could definitely work on. And that comes from the top, from leadership.
Completely agree. So let's do this. So we've kind of laid out the problem. Let's go around the room and think about what's one piece of advice that you might give to either an individual sales professional or to a sales leadership team to help them navigate what we've now outlined as, frankly, a pretty grim environment. So let's offer some help. So Jill, maybe we'll start with you.
What I'm really talking with people about these days is the need to rethink their habits and how they're working, because the way they're working isn't working. And if you can take a look at somebody that goes into the office and jumps themselves right into email and bounces all day around from here to there, they don't know that what they're doing is not productive. And so what needs to be done is there needs to literally be an education about how we work in this office, in this company, so that we're able to, A, get more done during the course of a day. But I think it even goes beyond that, because right now, with the complexity of the sale and the need for salespeople to bring their customers ideas, insights, and information all the time, and for the need for salespeople to be strategic to do this, we need salespeople who are at the top of their game mentally.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if somebody's bouncing around? It's actually hurting their ability to be strategic. their intelligence goes down. They're stupider than they were before. And I literally mean there's research that shows that their IQ literally goes down. I mean, a Harvard MBA who's bouncing around and texting and emails during the course of a day can go from a Harvard MBA brain to an 8-year-old brain because they're literally bouncing, which means they're not strategic. They're not thinking the thoughts that they need to be thinking in order to capture somebody's attention, to keep it, to move things along. So you asked me, what do I recommend?
Yeah, give me a piece of advice.
Okay, number one, don't start your day with email. Don't start your day with email. Something as simple as that. If you need to do email triage, that's fine.
All right, but I'm already toast.
Yeah. Okay, but and you feel like you have to, but you know what?
I don't even turn my light on. I'm already doing email.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? How much of that is urgent right now? And you just jumped into somebody else's agenda.
Yeah.
You jumped into somebody else's agenda, and boom, you go down the rabbit hole doing things that other people set up for you today, as opposed to thinking, taking a few minutes at the beginning of the day and just sitting there and thinking, okay, what are the three most important things I need to focus on today and getting to work on at least one of them. I can't tell you how many customers really don't need you to respond right away. Really, really don't, Brad. I mean, they honestly don't. And yet research shows that the average person is responding to emails within 6 seconds. It's killing their mental capacity.
And you know that they know you opened it, too.
They know. I know. I know.
Part.
So now it's even worse.
Now, right?
I know.
So Nick, what about, we're going to come back. This is the kind of advice we need because it's so hard to follow, isn't it? So Nick, what about the organizational level? So now we've got, because we're between a rock and a hard place there too, right? Which is the help I'm offering is actually making it worse, but I can't stop offering help, right? So what now?
Yeah, and it is, I think the mantra we talk about a lot, and you see it in certain companies. In fact, where kind of the root of this thinking comes from is often more in product development environments where companies focus on developing really simple products and they stay extremely focused on what does a product really need to do and what does it not need to do, right? What's additive or extra? You think about products like Apple or Google's products, and you see companies taking that philosophy or that way of thinking into their sales operations, into the sales tools, into the ecosystem of support they're putting in front of their frontline teams and really saying, look, how can we ruthlessly simplify the support we're offering to the points, you know, where reps need that support most, and anything else that's additive or noise or marginally impactful, let's be judicious about getting that out of the system.
Even if it looks good on paper.
Even if it looks good on paper, and even if the ROI is so incredibly clear on paper, because what happens on paper, right, and what happens in reality comes very, very disjointed oftentimes. And so I love this notion of ruthlessly simplify. And in fact, there's companies we've worked with and seen where they've kind of looked at the ecosystem of support and said, gee, we have 25, 30 legacy systems. Our goal is to get that down to 3 systems where workflow occurs. CDW is one of the companies we've seen do this and just be judicious about moving everything into, as much as they can in their case, into CRM to create a common, simple workflow that's supported by the CRM tool where they're moving in and out of different disparate systems and being just as judicious as they can about keeping it easy and streamlined for their sellers to engage with what they need to engage with and nothing more.
Yeah, it's funny. CDW is a great example of that because the phrase, the term that they use at CDW about complexity is calories. And they simply ask, how many calories
must
a sales rep burn in order to get a deal done? And it's a mental calories. And so if I come back and take your point, Nick, and put it together, Jill, with yours, it's kind of the same word in my mind comes together for each of them, which is the word focus, right? So what can we do to focus the organization on those few things that simplify my perspective and know that I should, everything's important. It's all important, but it's these two things that matter most. And Jill, same thing, right? So what are the things that, what can I cut out? Because it's all important, but it can't all be important.
It can't all be important, and it can't be all important now.
Yes.
So, I mean, the question to be asking is, what is important now? What can wait for later? And then to be focusing on the most important thing at this particular moment in time.
Totally agree.
And who determines that? What's most important?
Well, sometimes I think the leadership team has to really help the salespeople. Yeah. I don't think it's a question of leaving things up to sales because you get 100 different, 1,000 different opinions.
Even deals, which deals are most important? Do you have a way of measuring them and rating them? Because if you don't, people are going to be all over the board.
There's just so much going on. Agreed. So, in fact, Lori, let me come back to you. So, maybe then we'll wrap up this first of our three sessions, our sections of our discussion. But you'd start a little bit with the customer. So, if you were to think about that one sort of practical, tactical tip to help either sales reps or sales organizations in this kind of complex environment, what would you boil it down to? Would you go back to customer and start there, or would you do something other tip?
I'd have to go internally. I mean, I have to say, when I saw all the touch points, and I sat by someone yesterday who had 500 touch points, and I almost cried because, you know, it's kind of like when you're on a sports team and you're at the away game and everyone's booing you. Well, that's fine, but when you're at the home game and they're booing you, that's a problem, you know. So you've got to get the support internally, and I think a lot of companies could work on that.
I think you're right. So if we think about sort of taking this part of our discussion and putting it together, we've landed in a couple places. One is more is not always better. In fact, more is nothing more than more in many cases. And so the question is, how do we operate in an environment of less? Because that is, in fact, the way that we're going to win in this world. How do we simplify the seller's life? How do we simplify the sales process? How do we simplify everything that we're doing? Because if we don't, we're actually going to wind up just exacerbating the very problem we're looking to solve. Okay. All right. So with that in mind, let's close this first part of our conversation. And thank you for joining us on that. And let's we'll dive in on part two, and stay tuned for that.